16th, and we're recording in progress. So let's move the colors.
Let the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
7.04 p.m.
Okay, so I'm just going to do a brief review of what we did last month. So, Ron, I think you're the only one here, Marcel. The only ones that were here last month. I was asked by the mayor to organize this committee to see to work with the storms and see if we can come up with a plan to improve the ambulance service for the city of Derby. So we had some discussions last month. We talked about basically the history of how we got from the beginning of ambulance corps till now. Tom brought some information relative to funding and also some meeting minutes from 2014, I think, of a board of Walden meeting of another committee that did basically the same thing. So, Dan Abrams is the finance director?
Sure.
Director for the Storm Ambulance Corps. And he's got a presentation that they did for last year's budget, right? But
The current.
It's current now?
Well, it was for the current fiscal year. So
all right. 2022-23. But it's relative to bring us up to speed of where all the funding is. They were not funded fully by the tax board. So, and you're aware where those points are, obviously, at this point. So you can just point it out as you're going through. And that was the point for tonight's meeting, going through this presentation. So with that, I'm going to just take a back seat.
Okay. How about it, Dave?
Yeah.
Still plugged in. We're good. All right. So again, Dan Abrams, I guess, call me the director of finance for Storm Ambulance. This is the presentation that we did for the tax board back in March or April, whatever it was. So as the commissioner said, our original request for this budget year was $200,000. We were awarded $125,000 with $25,000 put in a special off the side. Kept it, I guess, for us if we needed. So I don't know how much time went through in your last meeting, so I can cruise through these slides pretty quick. This is just a little bit about who we are and what we do. We do EMS, rescue, technical rescue, hazardous materials, marine, and some PubMed stuff. The STAR, what we call essential services. We'll define those a little later, but those are the absolute required. Have to be done, city has to provide. We do have two transporting ambulances that we use. Flip through these pretty quick.
Dan, do you have an electronic copy of this presentation?
Yeah.
That I could include for the minutes. Yeah, I don't need it tonight. But
yeah.
No sense. Okay.
Yeah, no worries. All right. So talking about our call volume. So if you look at the top, the blue part, that's the number of times that the ambulance gets sent out. So on average, it's a little under 2,500 runs a year. You could see from back here in 2012, when this chart starts, actual runs that the ambulance goes out the door declining a little bit. The major reason is this. So back in 2015, state of Connecticut switched to, they call it EMD. So it's the dispatcher, instead of somebody calls and says, I need an ambulance, they send an ambulance. Now they ask questions to determine what the nature of the issue is. And it limits a little bit the number of times the ambulance has to go out the door. So
but you might not need the ambulance.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Have you compared that to any of the other services? Because that really doesn't hold up for
any other service that utilizes EMD.
Really?
Every municipality in the area has gone up by 10% almost annually. So EMD really hasn't affected that drop.
Okay.
I think we lost a lot of volume coming out of with the two nursing homes going away.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going to see a lot.
That's what we see decrease. Down here.
But off your mean average, off your dotted decline in 2005, you start taking your dip back up in 2017, and you're almost back to where you are for an average. So that just may be a one-time dip or glitch. But really, every municipality in the area has never seen a real decline, with the exception of COVID, in their call volume.
So that's another good point. You know, COVID, we did see this dip here. So it does skew the curve that way.
Right.
Something else, Sean, that we are starting to see, and it's the two health centers, the two walk-in clinics.
That's a big volume
that we started to lose.
Well, and then you're going there to pick them up out of there.
And from what I understand, another one's coming.
Yeah.
What's happened is the emergency departments are overrun. Everybody knows it.
So
people don't want to sit for 4 hours in the ER, 5 hours. They'll go to the walk-in because ER was basically clogged with people with colds.
Right.
You know, and not to minimize what they had, but they didn't need ER response, but that was the only game in town. That's where it went. Now they're going more to the walk-ins instead of calling 911. And
then they realize they're serious. They got to call the ambulance.
If it is, I mean, but the walk-ins are pretty packed. I don't know if you've ever been to any.
Yeah.
But
I work for three hospitals up in the central region of the state. We're completely overrun. You know, we had 30
which
borders.
Is normal. I mean,
right.
Which is, you know,
we had 30 borders in the ER just waiting to get room placement. So, I mean, yeah, I understand, but EMD really hasn't affected, I don't think anywhere I've seen call volume decrease because of EMD.
Is the walk-in units, I can't really tell a little bit of that. Is that really, that's not making up for the nursing home loss, though, is it?
Well, the walk-ins, I think, are still they're relatively new. They're only a couple of years old.
Yeah.
But
so
we
don't see it in the numbers.
I think to answer your question, though, it's the inverse, that people are going to the walk-ins versus getting around to the hospital instead.
Right.
Yeah. And then those that really need to go to the hospital get picked up there.
Right.
Yeah. So the bottom here, this is our actual billable runs. So if we look, it actually stayed pretty flat over the last 10 years. To your point where every other municipality has seen an increase, we have this big, call it red herring, whatever you want to call it, or the reliability of the ambulances, the maintenance issues that we've had over the past few years, because we have two significantly old ambulances.
So when you don't have the ambulance to go out on the service.
So we have two ambulances. Yeah. You know, we've been able to keep at least one in service fairly regularly, but we do have, you know, with going out the door 2,500 times a year, you know, that's, you know, what do we have? 17 calls in 24 hours the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we don't have that second ambulance, we miss out on that revenue.
So would that reflect in your number up above as well, too, right?
We still get dispatched.
Right.
Still,
call
still
for
get
service.
Dispatched. It's
and
still
then
a call for service.
You just tell that you have no ambulance in service.
We go out. We would first respond.
Oh,
so right. We would send someone out to tend to what they could, and then another transporting ambulance would come in to actually build.
Right.
Yes.
Or
oh, okay.
And
then another ambulance would come to transport.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Okay.
They can only bill when there's a transport, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Spanky, how many transports did we have to pass off?
So last year we had over 500 calls go to mutual aid.
And that means that?
That means somebody else had to transport the patient, so we missed out on that.
We used to be the opposite cover for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, we don't have, when you're down to one ambulance route, it's.
Yeah.
And the 500 calls was due to only one ambulance or one
was
working.
One ambulance.
Or it may have had two and maybe a third call, but that's
good. Yes.
That's not.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen too often, but it does happen.
But you also had that month and a half period.
That's what I was just
saying. Yeah. And Sonya responded to all your daytime calls.
We had staffing issues at one point this year. We had an issue with our staffing company where they weren't supporting us sufficiently. So we had to make an agreement with Ansonia to help cover us for a period of time this summer, late spring, early summer.
Yeah, it was April into May.
Yeah. So these things work in that the ambulance maintenance you'll see is our number two expense behind staffing. So we'll go on to the next one. So just when we do the tax board presentation, there's always questions about our financials. So the top chart there, over the past 10 years, again, we're looking at this is directly from our 1099s. The 1099s are posted as required online as a 501c3. So anyone has access to them, it's always been. If you look, the green bars, that's our billing revenue. So how much we actually make from transporting people to the treating and transporting people to the hospitals. The blue bars, the light blue on the bottom, that's the city contribution. So you can see it varies over time. There were times when we had very restrictive regulations with the city where we would have to provide receipts for them to cut a check, and our stipend, you'll call it, varies every year. We go in, we have to fight for anything we can get. You do see, lately it's been on the rise a little bit. Actually, this bar should be down pretty even with this one, because this accounts for the $200,000 in the 22-23 fiscal year. So that bar would come down. The red line, those are our expenses. You can see last 4 years, we haven't been able to cover our expenses with our revenues. So billing revenue, you can see the height of the total length of the green bar doesn't change much.
The revenues are collective revenues or billable revenues?
Collected. This is actual 1099 income.
And you're including the city stipend into that as well?
The light blue is the city. The bottom of the bars here,
gotcha.
That's the city. All right. If we look, the profit loss is this blue line down here. Obviously, when it doesn't match, we go below. And then the green line is always a question about, when people do look at our 1099s, it shows we have cash in the bank. We've, since the last 15 years, we've tried to keep so we don't have to have a credit line. We keep a savings account we try to keep it at $40,000 to $50,000. If we blow a motor in the rescue truck, that's all. That's what it's there for. Transmission in an ambulance. Half of it's gone.
The ambulance pays their own repairs.
Yes.
You guys pay your own repairs?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
why. Always.
Always.
Forever.
Correct.
Yeah. But they were manageable when we had newer ambulances. Now it's just.
How old are the ambulances?
12 and 8. Right?
Older than should be any vehicle
that
are older.
For that purpose. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I know. You go to your office and you buy a used municipal vehicle and you run it into the ground.
Yeah.
Well, that's where they're at now.
Yeah.
We're going to go right to Jacobs.
It was approved, but
we're at square one again.
Yeah,
there
was approved. and no action was ever taken, we went back to the company. Well, actually, three. I went back to the company because the first one the city did, and it fell through the cracks after it was approved. Went back to him, and the guy said, "Look, prices are going up. It's up 30 grand."
It was approved by for long.
The amount, the dollar amount was.
Remember, we brought it to our committee, buddy?
Yeah. Well, it was approved in October before I got elected. Then they said that they didn't have the dollar amount correct. Remember? So then we brought it to our committee. Then we brought it to the full board.
Right.
Then it was approved again for the dollar amount. Right. And then it went nowhere.
That's a year ago or so.
Yeah.
Just about.
Yeah. And I'm just, I'm not really trying to hammer the revenue production, but your 2022 projections were projected for the budget meetings. Does that take into effect the month and a half of loss of revenue production you had when you weren't running your own calls?
It did not.
So
it did not. This was
potentially that is you're way under potentially where you could be with a month and a half.
Since the new staffing agency took over, we've been, we've been passing very few calls.
During the daytime, but you're still passing calls at night.
Yeah, but, the projection we had was based on, continuing and getting, having the two ambulances in service consistently.
Right.
So, to your point, yes, I've asked for an updated stats year to date from the dispatch service to confirm what we have.
In fact, I'll hold you to like the exact number. What have we spent? What have we spent on repairs this year, last year, year before?
So we average between 30. This year we're going to be at 50. Oh, well, this week we're at 50. We average 30 to 40, upwards of 50 grand.
Last 3 years.
Yeah.
It only gets worse. The vehicles are older, more
and
more.
Well, and that's just the maintenance cost.
Yeah, and here's the
loss of revenues is worse.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, you're not just paying your own repairs, number one.
You're losing money.
Correct. Because if this thing, let's just say one of my trucks is in the shop, it's not making me no money.
Right.
And if you get 17 calls a day, one ambulance or thereabouts, whatever it comes out to be, you just lost potentially 17 times X amount of gross revenue to bring in.
Include to that.
You know what I mean?
Not from the maintenance standpoint, but we'll talk about how we make our money. All right, to the bottom here, it kind of goes into what you were asking about. So this is the last 4 years and projection for 2022. The left side is billables. So this is the orange is Medicare, the gray is Medicaid, yellow is insurance, and then the little blue bar is our self-payers. So you can see we bill upwards of between $800,000 and $900,000 a year. And the red bar, that's how much we have to write off every year.
So what's the percentage of how much you bill to how much you collect?
Between we collect between 40% and 45%.
So under 50%.
Under 50%.
And how long do we try to collect it?
I'm sorry?
How long do you try to collect it?
So hold that question for 1 minute, let me go through the explanation.
So you send it to the collection agency after?
We do. Oh. For bills,
right.
We have to. There's no way for us not to. We don't lean people's houses.
No.
That kind of stuff, but we do have to do due process to collect.
Ronnie, when he said we don't need houses, like, how many did they do in Shelton?
That was a huge mistake on their part, and they've corrected.
The EMS don't do it anymore?
No, they had no idea that the billing services were going that deep, and billing out and trying to put liens on houses, et cetera. But once it was become apparent and the commission got a hold of it,
once somebody caught
and you know, Perillo and McGordy got a hold of it, it got squashed.
Why Vems is no longer the show.
Yeah.
Was the mayor wrong from it out and said
they were the root of it?
Yeah.
All right. So talk about our collections and that 40 to 45%. This is why. Derby has a primarily fixed payer, discounted fixed payer
customer.
Sure. So when we go on calls, usually we're in the above 80% of our calls are from Medicare and Medicaid. We bill Medicare and Medicaid for our calls. So that means 80% of our calls are at a fixed rate. We're taking a discount no matter what. The Medicare rate is a little bit higher than the Medicaid rate. So the federal program pays a little bit more than the state program. But over the past 5 years, it's the percentages have shifted a little bit. So we're doing more Medicaid at the lower rate than we are Medicare at the higher rate. Overall, still, you know, it was about 75 to 80%. And that's been consistent.
Medicare and Medicaid, it's 80% of your calls.
80% of our billable calls.
That's primarily most of the ambulance volume for a lot of the
service. Well,
we're in the lower.
This is us. The bars are us. The lines are the rest of the state average.
Yeah.
So using the state has published annual reports. Using that, the percentage of Medicaid calls in the state is around 15%, and the average Medicare is in 30% by service.
I wonder if that has to do with us being a distressed community and all that shit.
We have one of the oldest populations in the state, right. And we have one of the poorest populations in the state.
Right.
So all we see for the most part is Medicare, Medicaid,
right.
And
it's all got to be taken into consideration.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you look at the demographics, at least a while back, I mean, it was, you know, comparable to Meriden and
we're bigger
cities. But,
right. We're a little city with big city issues is what it is.
I know. I mean, look, at we're at 80%. The state average is at, what, 15? What's the blue one, state average?
So the blue line, this the state average for Medicare is about 30%, and Medicaid is about 15%. So 45% versus 80.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So on your Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance calls that are billed out, what's your percent of collection on those? And are those being kicked back, and are you writing off because of improper documentation?
I haven't gotten this year's numbers, but we have an average 98% collection rate. So we are among the highest that our billing company sees.
And you're using CoinStar or not CoinStar?
Quickmint? Yeah, it was Holdsworth.
So that means the employees and the people on are doing the right paperwork so that they're getting the right information to get the billing.
Correct.
Paid or the bill paid.
Correct.
So we're doing our job.
Doing everything we can. Yes. Right. 15% of our calls go to insurance. Insurance is the slowest to pay, it's the longest lead time. And with the increase in the high deductible health plans,
so
more of that is having to be put into the self-pay category, which typically, historically, is about a 50% collection rate. They're usually, you know, it's a very small percentage of people that don't have insurance or Medicare, Medicaid, anything. The write-offs there are a little bit higher.
And when you look at this, guys, you have to realize that, and it says so at the bottom, when somebody calls 911, we can't go out and say, do you have insurance or not? We're going to be able to pay the bill.
Yeah.
We have no choice.
Yeah.
We have to provide a service.
Yeah. So
that.
What if you're a Derby resident and you're, let's just say you're not on Medicare or Medicaid? Do you give a Derby resident discount, or how does that work? Or do they insurance companies?
We're not allowed to legally we have we have a state approved rate. We have to apply to the state every year, tell them how much we want to charge. There's a range that we have to be within, and they approve it, and we have to charge everyone the same rate. Mm-hmm. What we do is we do have a hardship process where if someone has a significant hardship and they ask for a reduction, we take it against the specific criteria,
yeah,
and we're able to help them that way. But we bill the same, everyone gets billed the same. All right, so this year the top the top numbers are the same as you saw on the last chart, but this section here, this is what we were just talking about, our rates. So the state said the state approved rate for 2022, $737. Medicare pays 80% of $430. The patient's responsible for the other 20%. Medicaid pays $293, and that's it. So these are the maximum we're allowed to collect for that $737 call. The maximum we're allowed to get is $430 if it's Medicare, and $293 if it's Medicaid. So with the percentages of calls that we have in each of those categories, we write off $200,000 to Medicare. To accept Medicare, we have to write off $200,000. And to accept Medicaid, we write off another $230,000.
So do you have the number for what the private insurance would pay you? I mean, I know the state payment is $737, and then it goes down, obviously.
We don't have a discount plan with any of the insurance companies.
So they only pay $737 as well?
They would pay if someone's coverage, if they've met their deductible for the year and they're past their out-of-pocket maximum, the insurance company should be cutting as a check.
Or like an auto claim if you were injured. Yeah.
So the highest amount that you bill anyone is $737.
Correct. Okay. That's us. So we are just a BLS transport service. Any advanced life support is performed by VEMS. So when you hear people talking about getting thousands of dollar bills, it's us for the transport, plus they're getting billed by VEMS for the advanced life support.
But it's two separate bills, I guess.
It's two separate bills, correct.
So what constitutes as advanced life support? What does that mean?
IV, cardiac monitoring, medication administration, ALS assessment.
Okay.
So at one point, when we were still an IV tech level service, were we billing an ALS charge then?
Yes.
So we saw a decrease from that as well.
We had two different rates.
Right. Okay. So that's another hit.
So we don't do any paramedic stuff on the ambulance thing?
Not these guys. There's a paramedic, but he comes from vets.
Right. Yeah, right. That's it. Okay.
All right. Just some notes. We have to have an ambulance available. There's got to be someone there when the phone when the phone rings at 911. Somebody's got to be able to respond. So, we talked about 17 calls in 24 hours, but there's times where we're sitting idle, but we have to have the capability to respond when we need to.
Spence, can you go back to slide? So at the bottom, it says there's 452,000 unrecoverable. That's what you were mentioning about Medicare or Medicaid.
Yep.
That's
right. Yeah.
But on the other side, it says due to the city of Derby payer mix and demographics, billing will never support operations. So emergency calls like AMR and stuff, they don't make their money on emergencies, right?
Transfer. Is that correct? Transfer work.
They make it on transfers. So doing the emergency portion of it, which is what we do, it's never going to be, it's never going to be a
money maker.
A money maker.
No. And if you see AMR come into a suburb or into a smaller community, one of the things that they're going to look at is a subsidy, number one, their transfer volume potential, which they would have for nursing homes and a hospital. And that's where it gets fuzzy with your coverage, because they'll say that they're going to guarantee you to have one unit or two units in the municipality to cover your 911 volume. But when it comes to transfers, if they've got one of the two units available, they're going to have them do a transfer and they're going to double dip.
But if AMR came in and they said they were guaranteeing the car here, if there was an emergency call, say in another AMR town, would they pull that car?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's, I'm sorry, that's one of the, so I sit on a few of the boards for some of the smaller suburbs up in the middle section of the state. And that's one of the big bumps of contention is if it's busy in a town next door and they pull the car to go cover that call, and a call comes in Southington, well, I'm paying you a subsidy to have that car here. Where was it?
You call it a subsidy. AMR, I call it a retainer.
Right.
Yeah, well, what is their retainer?
Well, it depends on the community. I mean, if they can come in, like, you're going into a New Haven area where you have multiple nursing homes and two major hospitals and the access to the VA and everything else, they're going to come in at a zero subsidy. Because they're going to make it up in the transfer work. You come into a town like Derby, where you have the one hospital, there's no more nursing homes, it depends. And they're going to base that off of ratios of volume.
Yeah, because they're not going to go in the hole like we are.
Explain to me when the nursing homes were there, what gave you guys first right of refusal to those?
Emergency.
911 calls.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the transfers for their nursing homes.
We do the transfers from the nursing homes.
Those are private contracts.
They never even called 911 spray. They would call.
I don't know where I was going. Hospital has. Yeah. There's no way you could get transfers from Griffin.
The license service, and then you're a for profit.
Right.
Yep.
So then you're open up to all the rest.
So that's
just a couple of comments on that. We approached Bill Schindler, who's, what's his title?
He's director of Western Connecticut.
We asked for a possible quote for the city of Derby would be. We were told $1.2 million.
That's a keep for a car AMR?
Here. Yes, that's to keep a car here 24/7, 7 days a week. Now, here's another point that I was going to raise. Shelton the other day had four cars in the city of Bridgeport. Trumbull had two cars in the city of Bridgeport. AMR is no different than us when it comes to emergency calls. Their staffing is just as tough to get as ours. They're running minimum a number of cars, and they're pulling mutual aid from other places. So the chances of a car sitting here 24/7 are.
You would have to pay through the nose to keep it here.
Yeah.
Could we have more of those?
The budget slides, actually.
So out of the highest that we could bill, that would be the state approved at 737.
Yep.
When that ambulance goes out to pick up a 911 call, whatever it is, bring it to the hospital or go to New Haven if it's trauma, whatever the issue is. I know when my truck leaves the yard, how much money that truck costs me every year between fuel, insurance, blah, blah, blah. That, if you take that 737, say we had all state approved calls and we got 100%, and then what your maintenance and everything else is, there's no way at that $737 and the expenses and everything else that you got that you would even break even, right?
Right.
That's right.
I'm also gonna ask Gary to put this in the record. This is a study that was done in 2020 on EMS in Connecticut. And in our region, which is region two, the deficit to EMS services, not for profits, after municipal funding per year is $127,000 per year, per service. And I've got all the graphs and all the demographics
later.
But, you know, anybody who thinks that we're going to make money here, it's not.
No, it's not a money maker. I mean, if I could, to cut to the chase, since they're moving this whole budget process up to, you know, jam it all up. But, I mean, you're going to go do this thought, no disrespect, but do the dog and pony show in front of them.
Oh, we agree. We call
it and waste time again. So Santos, you know, said that he's willing to listen. He's one guy on one board. So, you know, this is ridiculous that every year this has to occur. I'm on a roll here. So there's no way the city is mandated to provide a service. You have the license to do the service. You've done the service since there was a service in Derby. And you're sucking wind. I mean, how much money did, forget the $200,000. What, and take the ambulance out of the equation for a second, because that's a given that the city needs to supply those. But how much money do you guys need to not suck wind from one month to the next?
So I'll put this up just because nobody can see it. So this was the budget that we created with the realistic expectation and the realistic ask for $200,000. Okay, so we talked about essential services before, the ambulance, being able to extricate people from car wrecks, that kind of stuff. We provide the confined space entry allowance or rescue team for WPCA. Anytime they have to do an entry, they have to have a contract with someone that's going to come save them if something happens. We provide the Derby High School. We do football games for them. Any city employee that gets hurt on the job, we do transport it for free. This budget here, that $570,000 right here, that's how much our minimum is to do that. Okay. That means we don't do any specialized training. We don't replace our equipment with the latest and greatest, right, like we used to. The Storms used to be the premier rescue service in the state. You know, we were known, you know, throughout the country in some circles, and we haven't been afforded. I can't even buy my members' t-shirts. You know, we're having a Christmas party for the second time in the last 10 years this year. That amount of money barely lets us keep the lights on. It doesn't do anything for member retention. It doesn't do anything for recruitment. It doesn't do anything for the other things that we do. The specialized rescue, technical rescue stuff. We do marine rescue. We've got a river. We've got two rivers. We've got reservoirs. We have to be trained to respond to those emergencies and have the equipment to do that. And we spend almost nothing on that. We see divisional operating costs. That's what we spend on everything else.
Spark, you asked a question before about transport stuff. We used to do a gazillion of them, I'm sure you remember. But, you know, the thing is this. If you started doing transports, we're running one ambulance that's 20 years old and one that we bought secondhand. So how long do you think they would last?
You can't do it with your fleet.
Yeah, and it probably isn't cost effective. But the second thing is, you know, when we sit at a meeting, every year it's the same, and I'm not knocking anybody, but every year it's the same bullshit, quite honestly. We're accused of mismanagement, accused of hiding money, accused of anything you could think of. He goes through this presentation, and I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't understand or see what the deal is. Everybody here, right? But it's every year, like you were talking about, what would it be? Well, every year he goes through this presentation, and then it's, well, oh, okay, then you're not hiding money, you're not stealing money, you're not whatever it is, whatever.
But then in the next
whatever month, the accusation or
a couple months,
is,
then.
No.
It's stuff like that. It's just ridiculousness. But every year it seems to come up. And when you look at the grand scheme of things, what they're asking, no other city service is put to this kind of the scrutiny that he complies with. But when you look in the grand scheme of things and what the service provides in relation to other agencies, it's pretty much a bargain.
Look at what you do for the city. You have the rescue boats. I mean, confined space. If the city had to go and hire somebody to do all that stuff, that would cost huge.
My thought is, and I would say do it with this budget coming up. But I mean, look ahead. I mean, what do you see? EMS and revenue. EMS. The dollars that are coming in are not going to promote, partially stay with the status quo, right? Do you see expanding it again for the world, but 5 years from now, the recruits are going, volunteerism is going down. So I see the paid staff going up, expanding your hours of service, more cost.
Right.
We talked about, you know, the city taking the personnel, right? How does that? I mean, do you have a vision of how that looks? I mean, when I say how that looks,
so when you say how it looks,
yeah,
how it would go operationally, or
well, I mean, I see. So you have. The way I see you, your staffing agency would go away.
Correct.
And the staffing agency, I mean, you probably become your own staffing agency funded by the city.
Right. Well, and so we couldn't become our own staffing agency.
Right.
Because we have the volunteers.
Well, they would be, I'm sorry.
City employees.
Would be employees of the city of Derby.
Yeah.
You would manage it.
So when we switched over from VinTech to the new service, we saw an increase in price?
We saw an increase in price. If we had stayed with VinTech, the increase would have been
coming from
10% more,
yeah.
I think.
Okay. So obviously the new staffing agency or VinTech is not paying the hourly wage that they're charging you.
Absolutely.
So there is a cost savings there.
No.
The
you're correct.
They become city employees. And I think this is where it comes down to, everybody in this room agrees that no bucks, no buck Rogers, right? You're not seeing your revenue to keep running the service. So, you know, nobody in this room
they shouldn't be looking at it like that, because it's never going to happen.
You're right. And that's what I brought up at the first meeting was, you know, EMS is one of the few semi-subsidized, over 50% of the revenue goes into the service to run the service. Police department doesn't draw in the amount of revenue to keep the service up and running.
Right.
The fire department doesn't. Public Works doesn't.
Right.
None of those services, they're all bleeding money out.
That's right.
This service brings in
something.
400 was the billable for last year. 400K.
To on average,
subsidize the service. You know the police department's not bringing that money in. Maybe with a special duty subsidy, some of the money that comes in, but you know, there's no other service that does that. So this is really, we're not talking big money here on a line item. Right. And right now, I think that what we have to look at is, first of all, we don't want a commercial service coming anywhere near this. We agree that storms needs to maintain and still exist. It's just a matter of, number one, coming up for the next budget, polishing this up. And I have to say, you can't bring up that weird your budget year versus the city budget year. We have to adjust it to what the municipal budget is.
The fiscal year.
The fiscal year. Because you started talking about your budget versus the city budget, and you lost everybody on that call.
See, the problem is that our tax reporting requirement is a calendar on the calendar year.
But you can still you can still adjust it to a municipal budget. You just take you just look at July to July.
We could, I suppose.
So I mean, and that makes it so it's not looking like you're, because that made it look to a lot of people on that call like there was money being hid somewhere. Because you're trying to explain
the
different.
I don't understand how taking 50% of the money from that fiscal year and 50% of the money from this fiscal year.
You and I are understanding it, but my opinion, adjust it to your municipal budget. We have to figure out some way of adjusting so that the city understands that they're getting a discounted price for EMS.
All this is kind
I
of
can
a moot
see,
point.
I can do that. I can do that.
True.
I can do that with the budget.
That's what it comes down to. All this is a moot point.
But I can't do that with the 1099 income or that kind of stuff. That's not going to tie up.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the amount of scrutiny we've got, no,
all right.
1099. So I just want to make sure that this committee is fully.
We answer to two different budgets.
Right.
And
so all I'm saying is just from July to from June 30th to July 1st, and it just makes the numbers look better going forward to either the tax board or to the Board of Aldermen.
So our fiscal year for my business is January 1 to December 30th.
That's us.
But with the system that we use, we can go in when they do the pie chart profit loss, and I
can
adjust it from July 1 of 22 to July 31st. Or
you're absolutely correct. We can do that. But my point is there's no federal document that gets filed on that schedule.
Correct. Right.
So we've got this 1099 or our tax filing is the federal document that we've gotten so much scrutiny over in the past. That.
Well, and you walk that in and say, this is our 1099 is based on the calendar year, but here is your adjusted municipal budget.
Yeah. We can try it.
We've got the hospital runs October to October.
Well, and that's the Medicare budget.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's on a Medicare.
It's the Medicare budget.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to last one. We'll stop after this, so that this committee is completely aware. The city does support us in other ways. Okay, we were trying to buy that spare used ambulance on our own. We weren't able to put the financing together in the time frame that we needed to. So we came to the city hat in hand.
And we got $50,000.
Yeah. But we want to acknowledge that kind of stuff. Yeah, there was a lot of misconception around that. The city pays for our fuel. The fuel that goes in the ambulance is the rescue truck. It's from the city. The vehicle insurance is through the city. The dispatch services are paid for by the city. They're paying for it for the fire department. Workers comp for only the volunteers is covered under the city. Any of our paid staff, they're covered by the staffing agency. And then we had this in here, but I did have to add that note next to it that we have promises from the city for two ambulances, for a new rescue truck, which we agreed to combine with the the fire engine that was supposed to be replaced at the storms, so that we could save that money. And then there was some equipment that was supposed to come with that truck that we have no choice but to buy that equipment because it's not coming in. You know, we're working on a grant for it, but you know, it's stuff like that that's impacted. You know, that's what, $60,000 worth of equipment?
Yeah, probably.
So just wanted to,
even if we got a new truck tomorrow, rescue went out the bid, we're 2 years out of the rescue money. Right? Yeah.
That's the point that I'm trying
to. How long to get a truck now?
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's almost 2 years, I think, for just the ambulance.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the point I'm trying to make. And this is what I was saying before. Regardless of what this board decides, let's just say, and I was saying this before, for instance, even if we decided to disband the ambulance, get rid of it, whatever.
Still right? Gotta have somebody.
You still gotta have, number one, you gotta have somebody, correct. But the equipment that's the asset here can be sold, or you can get value off of it by us not buying an ambulance or redoing this configuration with the rescue truck, so forth. All it is hurting the city's bottom line, because the farther out we go, the longer it's going to take to get it built, and the more money it's going to be. There should be no reason why this ambulance wasn't purchased in October of 2021 when it was approved the first time. Because all it is hurting us. And I speak on being a part of this board and a part of the Board of Aldermen. It's hurting the city by just letting it go nowhere and no decision being made. It makes no sense.
Oh, yeah, no capital plan before here.
And even when we had the meeting, we didn't even have a quorum because nobody else showed up.
I think the way to proceed in the short term, just to get to the budget that we got to, I think you guys should proceed like you did last year. I mean, basically do the same, but I think between, we don't have to do it tonight, but come up with some kind of a business model plan of what a city run, city managed, or whatever that term is going to be, service is going to look like. And what, for example, there's City Hall, the buildings would probably go through City Hall, I would imagine, right?
They wouldn't be able to handle the building.
They would get the city as our staffing agency, we'll call it.
What?
You know, what
I think that's all the city would be able to handle.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to handle any billing issues.
The city would not.
They wouldn't do the billing. Okay. But I'm just saying the revenue.
Right. So they would basically
they would pick the money.
The money going out and the money coming in. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like being so that model.
Looking
at Ansonia and the way that they run theirs, I fully agree that it's very scary, because every time ARMS comes up and looks for new equipment, they get pushed back. They want to increase the hours on the ambulance, they get pushed back. And you know, the city hall controls the purse strings. They have fixed it with using a fairly strong commission to kind of negate that. But I get the trepidation of turning all the revenue over to the city. But, you know, that's the transparency right there. That's when they're seeing how much is being brought in and what it costs to run the service. You know, I got to go back to, it's a subsidized service, that no other service in the city is providing that much internal revenue to run the service.
I think a lot of people have to be educated on, number one, what you guys provide. Number two, that on paper, they can want to recommend that the city no longer have the ambulance corps or whatever, but it's going to, I didn't know this personally either, that it's state mandated that we need a service here, no matter who we get, what we get, if we keep it, if we don't. I didn't know that. So it's not like you could just say that, oh, well, storms doesn't bring in enough revenue, we're going to get rid of the ambulance. Well, then you're going to pick up your checkbook and write a check to AMR for 1.2 and get, and it's going to be 100% you know, revenue out the door. No revenue coming in. It's going to be a complete expense at that point.
But that's 1.2 every year.
Yeah.
And going up.
Correct.
And who do you think is going to cover football names? Who do you think is going to cover all these other things that's going
to cover? That's right. And those are all going to be extras
on
top of that.
But the other thing is, you know, putting it, having the city control, and then you're at the will, you're at the whim of whatever politicians in office.
I'm not talking about them controlling.
Well,
I'm talking
exactly.
about
this is, you know, in this climate.
The issue I see is the city.
Which is exactly why we don't have an ambulance. Why isn't there an ambulance here? It went out to bid twice, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Went out to bid twice. The bid was accepted. It was approved. The board of aldermen approved. I don't know what happened with the tax bill, whatever. But we still don't have it. Where is it? How can we not have it? Because politically, obviously, it got held up. You can say whatever you want, but that's the bottom line. So
especially since the funds are, if they use the ARPA funds, they're sitting there. They're sitting there doing nothing.
We haven't spent anything out of the first, and we got the next part of it. There's $3.7 million sitting there. Not one project.
No quorum.
Correct.
We were two
cars down to begin with.
Fire engines down right now.
I'm not saying that. But if we passed on those two cars, we would have been four down. Why hasn't things been replaced on time according to when they were supposed
to? So, Gino, how do we move forward with this? It seems like the boards have been stymied. They've got no power to do anything. How do we get the ball rolling? You know, everybody's getting frustrated now.
I'm getting frustrated.
We have no answers for it.
The Board of Aldermen approved it, not once, but twice. So after that, it goes to the tax board to get funded. But I don't know why they haven't met either, from what I understand. Then they don't even have a chairman.
Tax board? And they got a new chairman now.
Correct.
In order to use them ARPA funds, it has to be, which has already been approved through the Board of Aldermen.
Yeah,
the tax board
is, from what I understand,
they appropriate. Once we say they have legislation, they have to appropriate. They don't have a choice. Their only choice is if the money wasn't there.
Right, because we heard, there's no finance director. That's why it's.
She doesn't have a say in it anyway. Yeah. It's the tax board that funds it. We approve the project or legislate it. Now, if we went to them and said, you got to buy this ambulance, and they say, well, we don't have any money in the line item to pay it. Well, that's a different thing. They want to pay it, but they don't have the funds to do it, or there was an appropriation to do it.
Yeah.
But we already approved it to use the ARPA funds. We already got the okay from the state to say that, yes, you can use ARPA funds to purchase it.
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
put
it
on the next Board of Aldermen.
I'm gonna write a letter to the mayor and tell him to demand the tax board to call a special meeting and approve it.
Can
to use it because they're
the
board.
Does the board aldermen have the power to put things on the agenda, or is that?
Well, we're doing it. We can do it that
way.
No, we could
do it.
We're gonna start
somebody
that
said. Somebody that said we can't even go and speak in the public portion unless it's on the agenda.
Yeah, we're just the only
people
over
that
right now. There's no way they're gonna stop us. We're the legislative body for the city.
Yeah.
You know, that's pure politics what we're trying to pull.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I keep getting from the other office.
But I thought the tax board passed it too after we did it. They okay'd it too.
Oh, did they? That I don't know.
I thought they did.
As far as I knew, they did too. And
it's easy
to go
back
on this.
We would get a figure, and then a month would go by. Of course, the figure would change by a few dollars. They'd say it's not an accurate figure, get another figure. But they kept us every month going out and getting a new figure.
I know.
It's good.
It's kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, and it's like, it got to be a game, you know. It's like, all right, well, how many times is the guy going to quote the same job?
It fell through the cracks because the finance office, we need the exact numbers, and that's all we can get. And we can't get an answer.
What do we need to do?
Get it on the agenda. So you get it on the agenda so that now the public can speak on it as well.
Right. Yeah.
Because they've been shooting that down pretty good. If it's not on the agenda, the gavel comes down and they're kicked out. Not that it wasn't.
Okay.
Sparky, where do you think this goes? I mean, this is your committee, whatever. Yeah,
well, given boards with quorums that actually can get something done, I thought that we could move this along, given some time. I mean, we're not there yet, but I think we've got a kind of a plan, and we got there's questions of how it meshes together, but I think we can.
And then times and plans are, you know.
But it's got to be by when.
Well, I'm saying. Yeah, so it's not going to be for this next budget year, but I think we can get it firmed up and start that ball rolling, because that's going to be a huge thing for the city of Derby. And I think doing it next year.
Whatever ball you start rolling.
But in the meantime, I'm not saying that your immediate needs have to wait for what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, because that's
what
the last price manufactured.
What was the last price on the ambulance? The latest one where he said it's up to the
sun. I think it was
Dan, thank you very much.
Appreciate you coming up. It might
have been a little more than that. I'm sure they were supposed to sell so chassis, and I wanted to work 50. I think they were that, but I don't think they only held it for so long, and then they finally said, "Hey, you know, it's been 6 months, you can't hold the chassis anymore." And that brought us into the next year.
Hey, gonna call the meeting to adjournment.
I'll make a motion. 8:05. I'll second.
Motion by Gino DiGiovanni, second by Ron Sill. All in favor?
Aye.
At 8:05, adjourned.